God's been doing some really sweet things among us in the last few weeks, changing our hearts in a few different ways. And last week, we recognized that church is supposed to be a bridge to our community to help them connect with God, not to be a barrier. And we talked about sometimes without realizing it, church can forget what it means to not have heard about Jesus or not have known about the Bible. Matter of fact, there's some words that we use in church that nobody in the community understands. And if we're really honest, many of us don't know what they mean either. Like, I don't even know what that word means. I sing it all the time. I nod at it. When we're in Zion, praise the Lord, I have no idea what Zion really means. But, you know, hallelujah. I don't even know what that means. But amen, you know, there we are. So it's just not uncommon. But if there's one word that both people in the community need to understand and we need to make sure we in the church understand, it's absolutely the word we're going to talk about today. And it's this word right here, gospel. What in the world does that word mean anyway? Because we hear it thrown around a lot in church, and sometimes we're supposed to be preachers of the gospel or witnesses of the gospel. What does that mean? What does the gospel of Jesus Christ, what is that anyway? And we want to make sure that we understand that word. The word gospel actually is just an old English word of saying good news. That's what I mean. It just means it's good news. It's something that when you hear it, you're like pretty excited about. That, you know, even if you're a relatively quiet person, when you hear that, no one needs to tell you to get excited. You just get excited. Like my daughter Melody, who we did our fantasy football draft last night, and she both got Todd Gurley and Aaron Rodgers on her team. I mean, she had good news about fantasy football. She's pretty excited about her team. No one's probably going to beat her, all right? So it's just good news. No one should tell us to be excited. We should hear it go, wow, that's encouraging. And gospel of Jesus Christ, I don't know if you even know what the word Christ means. It's actually just a word that means king of heaven. So it's the idea that Jesus is the ultimate king, and there's good news about this ultimate king, about how he feels about you and what he thinks about you. And so we're going to talk about that today and why you should actually care about. Like, why is that good news not just for people in church or whose families have been Christians, but why is that good news for every person in every place? That's what we're going to talk about today. So I'm excited about that. And of course, this weekend, there's a few different reasons to be excited. One is that many of you have off from work. It's a long weekend. Can I get an amen? Good news, right? Some of us, we're excited because we're parents and our kids are going back to school. And we're finally going to have some food in the refrigerator and a few moments to think for ourselves. Is it amen, parents? There's a few out there like, hallelujah. Okay. Now, there is a few others of us in the room that we're excited about this weekend for another reason, and it's this. College football. Here we go. All right? I mean, we're pretty pumped, all right? It's college football season. We're pretty excited. And it's amazing how people who, like, this person probably Monday through Friday is like, I'm kind of an introvert. I don't like to talk to people, and, you know, I don't want to get. And then on Saturday, he turns into this. You know, what is this? And it's amazing how people change drastically when they're rooting for their team to win, right? I mean, it's amazing how people will give time and money, and they'll be Razorbacks. Okay, there we go. See, they're coming. I mean, they're pretty excited. It's amazing all that they'll do, and it's very important to them that what? That their team win. A matter of fact, it's not just college. There are a few other people who are pretty excited about their teams, and people who are like, yeah, you know, I don't like to talk about my personal beliefs or anything, but they're telling you what they believe right here, pretty big time, right? Now, you know, obviously it's pretty understandable. Here's a picture of me rooting for the Minnesota Vikings, and okay, no, that's not me, just joking. I don't have that long of hair. But what is it about us wanting our teams to win? And we do recognize, by the way, as a church, we do recognize that when football season starts, there's a whole new level of intercession, family therapy, marriage counseling, and other things that need to go on. Because when your team wins, which I love that concept too. Like, hey, Pastor Sean, you saw we won. I'm like, really? I didn't actually see you in the game, but I'm so glad you won. You know, it's just like, wow, I'm excited. Our team won. And it's great. Like, if your team wins, everybody in your house, like, sighs. And like, okay, it's going to be a pretty good week. But when you lose, like, dude, it's a game, okay? And I don't know what's going on, but like when your team loses, you like turn into a different person. You just turn into a different person, and you're a little scary, and you grunt a lot, and we're pretty sure you're smashing things, okay? It's like, you know what? It's just a game. But why is it that we care so much about it? Well, you know, psychologists will tell you that a lot of us are projecting our needs of victory onto a team. And really, we don't need to be in church to know that we all face battles in life. And there's something kind of deep inside of us that really needs victory. Because there's really nothing worse than feeling defeated in life, right? Yeah. I mean, and the Bible actually talks about it all the time, that there are enemies of it. You ever notice, like in the book of Psalms, you know, give me a victory over my enemy. In Romans 8, I'm more than a conqueror. It's this idea that there's this battle that I'm facing, and we don't really need someone to give us a big, long sermon about everybody has a battle to face in their life. We kind of know that, don't we? Because all of us, we can feel defeated by things, and all of us feel pressure about some of the battles that we're facing. And the truth is, I say most often, look, you never know the miracle you're sitting next to on Sunday morning. Because you don't know the battle it was for them just to even show up to church. You don't know the battles that are going on here or in here. You don't know physically how they're feeling or with the pressures that they're feeling. And, you know, sometimes, I mean, let's be honest. Sometimes when we're walking in defeat, we don't feel like going to church and singing about victory when we've got none, right? I mean, sometimes it's a little bit of a battle just to come to church because there's some things really weighing on our hearts that are pretty hard. And it's almost a little salt in the wound to come and hear about everybody else saying about their answered prayers and things like that. Because being defeated is hard, and there's these battles we face, and we're supposed to come to church out of faith, hope, and love. So we're singing in faith, we're listening in faith, we're trusting in faith. But sometimes feeling defeated says, I don't even want to show up anymore. I mean, the Psalms, how long must I struggle with anguish in my soul? We're going to talk today about why Jesus is good news for all the soul enemies of your soul. We're going to talk about that today. And the fights, there's a battle. And fight sorrow in my heart every day. How long will my enemy have the upper hand? Well, sometimes, you know, they're talking about enemy, and David might probably wrote this. He was probably talking about like a literal enemy, but there's also enemies like depression and suicide and poverty and cancer and divorce and bitterness, and like there's a lot of things we battle. And there are a lot of enemies in our life that a lot of times we feel like they've got the upper hand. And the sad thing is when people feel this way, they tend to turn on Dr. Phil or Oprah, or maybe they go to the bar, or maybe they just get lost in their sports team. And the tragedy is this, that the place where real victory is in Jesus. Because the good news about Jesus, the gospel, is that he proclaimed and then lived out, not only by his death, but his resurrection, that he has victory over every enemy of this life that you and I face. And it, really, it was his first and his main message when he came to this world. If you look at your little sermon outline there, you'll notice the gospel of Mark. What does that even mean? The good news of that Mark tells about Jesus. And if you look at the very first verse of that part of the Bible, which, by the way, in the Bible Project, we read this Friday, so you can jump right in there. It says this, here's the beginning of the what? Of the gospel about Jesus Christ. You should hear this news and go, yes, I'm pretty excited about that, the Son of God. And it says in verse 14 that Jesus' first message out loud to the public was this. Jesus went to Galilee proclaiming the good news. That word good news is the same word as gospel. The interpreter, the guy who, you know, translated could have used the word gospel right there if he wanted. It's the exact same word. Proclaiming the gospel of God. The time has come, Jesus said. The kingdom of God is near. Repent, change the way you think, change the way you're living life, and believe the gospel, believe the good news. Jesus was declaring, I've got good news for the battles that you're facing. And I'm not saying it in a religious way, and there's not some special religious formula. It's me. I've got some victory for you. And it should actually excite you. Because the truth is, we get all excited about some guy making $1.5 million a game, winning, and somehow we're like all excited about that. But you know, that's actually not anything for us, because guess what? He don't know us. And his victory actually doesn't affect us. All right? It's kind of encouraging. But in the end, there's a victory that Jesus gave us that is good news for me and for you. It's a victory he won on our behalf. And so here's the interesting thing. Most people don't realize that when Jesus said, believe the gospel, he actually didn't make up that word. Like, that word was used in society long time before he ever used it. So when he used it, everybody actually knew what he was talking about. Because in Roman Greek culture, the word gospel in the original Greek, right, it actually was well known for two things. The first is this. When a new Caesar, when a new emperor of Rome came on, there would be soldiers sent out throughout the kingdom to declare the gospel of Caesar. In other words, here's good news. There's a new ruler who's going to bring blessing and prosperity to everybody. Did they? Usually not. But that's how they framed it. And literally, people would be used to, when a new Caesar came, literally, they'd be expecting someone to come to declare the gospel. There's a good news. There's a new ruler over our kingdom, and he's going to bring prosperity to all of us. Now, that was probably the most common way they knew it. But another way they knew it was this. If you were living in a village in the Greek or Roman times, right, and an invading army was coming your way, and you knew they were coming your way, but then you heard that your army went out to meet them, you know what you did for the next how many hours they fought? You were waiting for someone to come back with the gospel. Literally, the gospel. As a matter of fact, a herald, an evangelist, a witness would literally run from the battlefield to come to your village and say, the gospel, good news, your enemy has been defeated. And the one who wants to come and destroy and conquer you has been destroyed and conquered. It's good news. And no one had to tell anybody to clap at that moment. They ran around and they had good news. So when Jesus comes and says, I've got good news for you, everybody gets the picture. There's an enemy that's been trying to enslave you and conquer you, and guess what? He's defeated. I'm here. That's good news. Foam fingers, wild hats, loud noisemakers. Yes, yes, we've been saved. And that is the news that God wants to bring to each of us. And sometimes we've made it over religious or we've just thrown it out there, but we really don't understand what it means. That's what it means. Now, for hundreds of years, let me see what next. So here it is, the message of Jesus. This is what the gospel means right here. The good news that every enemy that wants to enslave and conquer you, because we all know what it's like to be enslaved in things that are not good for us, right? The good news that every enemy that wants to enslave and conquer you has been defeated, guess what? For you, by Jesus. That's really good news. So, sometimes people think the only time I come to church, I can't go to church because I've got these battles in my life that I'm losing, and all those people in church, they don't have those battles, so I can't go there yet. Is that true? That's not true at all. No, that's why we're here. Because there's someone who's won a victory that we want to learn to walk in and we want to receive. So 1 Corinthians 15:57. But why don't you read it out loud with me? It's right there on the screen. Read it out loud with me. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. So for hundreds of years, when someone wanted to know what the gospel was, they would say this. And I'm going to give these later, so you don't got to write them down right now. The gospel is this: Jesus is Savior, Healer, Sanctifier, Baptizer in the Holy Spirit, soon coming King. Praise the Lord. It's like, I don't know what that means. All right, well, here's the deal. Those names I just said to you, they're all the names of a specific way Jesus is a champion. So if I say that they're the World Series champs, where did they win? What sport did they win at? Baseball. That's the title of a champ for that area. If I say World Cup, what are we talking about? Soccer, football, right? Yeah, just depending on what part of the world. Like, so we know the battle that was won based on the name of the champion, right? Well, guess what? Savior, Healer, Sanctifier, Baptizer in the Holy Spirit, soon come in. They're all names of how Jesus is a champion over a certain enemy in our life. And it's really, really good news. Get this. Here we go. All right, here we are. Jesus as Savior means that Jesus gives us victory over selfishness. Okay? Now, in the end, the Bible says that Jesus saves us from our sins. You've probably heard that at some point if you've been around Christians at an amount of time. Jesus saves us from sins. I think the easiest way to think about what sin is, it's selfishness. It's this idea that in the end, I want what I want. I don't care if I hurt you to get it. Like, I'd rather not hurt you, but between you getting what you want and me getting what I want, I'm going to get what I want. So that's what sin is. It's just selfishness. And everybody gets that. Everybody knows that they struggle with that. And in the end, the Bible says that when Jesus was born, the angel declared that his name was to be Jesus. By the way, Jesus means God saves. That's what it means, okay? It's another word for Joshua in the Old Testament, God saves. And why was he named Jesus? Because he will save his people from their sins, their selfishness, their pride, right? So here's the irony. Can self help you with selfishness? I don't think so. I don't think we can free ourselves from that by ourselves because it's us that's the issue. A matter of fact, if you want to look at the person in your life who's creating the most problems in your life, who is it? It's you, right? I mean, that's just how it is. I mean, I'm the biggest problem in my life, okay? There's just things I need to work through. Sarah, my wife Sarah and I, we're going to be, tomorrow we celebrate 24 years of marriage. I got it right. That's right. Funny thing, first service, Pastor Brandon and Hannah right over here, and their anniversary is this week. I said, and how many years is it for you guys? And Brandon said, 12. And Hannah said, 11. All right? And I was like, and I said, and literally, I apologized in front of the whole guy. I said, Pastor Brandon, I just broke the bro code. We never test each other on how many years we're married or how old people are in front of each other. We all know we're going to get that wrong. The women always remember, but us guys, not so much. But Sarah and I, when we talk about our marriage and all the good things that are going on, and we talk about how much we've grown and changed, sometimes we talk about early on in the marriage, and I say to my wife, yeah, sorry about that. I didn't realize that's what I was doing back then. You know, it's just like, because why? Because I saw our relationship according to me and what I was thinking and where I was at in life. And in the end, our struggle is, I think about me, I think about God, I think about my world, I think about my job, I think about my marriage, I think about my dating relationship, by the way I think. And I don't have all the answers. And when I choose to look at everything through my own eyes, it usually doesn't go that well. What I need is I need a Savior from myself. And that's what the gospel declares, that when you can't, like, I am always doing what I want to do and I can't, that it's not, you know, it's not self-control, it's giving self. That's why we use the words in church about dying to self. It's the idea of saying, instead of me doing the way I want it, I'm going to trust Jesus. Instead of thinking about me, I'm going to think about him. And it's amazing what happens when you start thinking about him. He really is a Savior from selfishness. Now, second one, as healer, Jesus gives us victory over pain. Now, there are all these stories in the gospel of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. They're names of people who wrote about Jesus. So they're not actually the good news about that person. They're actually the good news about Jesus, all right? There are all these stories about how Jesus heals all the sick. And we're reminded in Isaiah, in the Old Testament, that it was prophesied that one day when the Christ would come, the King of heaven would come down on earth and set things right, that it would be by his wounds that we are healed. Now, people think about healing, and usually they think about just instantaneous healing, because we see that often in the Bible. But what I want to tell you, and I don't know if you've thought about this, is when we call Jesus healer, when he's the champion over pain, he gives us that victory a lot of different ways. Sometimes he just heals us right where we are, right now. Sometimes he uses doctors and nurses and the wisdom he's allowed man to use. Sometimes it's a little bit of a journey. And sometimes we don't even see quite the answer we're looking for. Why? Is God not a healer? No, he's a healer. But in the end, he's giving you victory over pain. And sometimes it's by healing you, and sometimes it's giving you joy, peace, love, faith that's greater than the pain that you're walking through. If you pray and ask God to be your healer, you will absolutely get victory over pain. I don't know between you and the Lord what it's going to look like. And I don't know exactly how in this season of your life it matters for other people to watch you walk through what you're walking through. But I'm telling you what, He is a healer. And there is no point that He will not give you victory over pain. Amen. All right, I was waiting for an extra amen. I didn't know it was coming or not. You know, we just had our prayer, and at the end, what we're going to do today, we didn't do prayer at the beginning of service. We're going to do it at the end because we just felt like God wants to do some special things among us. And, I mean, there's testimonies of my back is, this is literally word for word, the healing from this past week. My back has been healed. It's been over a month since I have any pain. So that victory is eliminating it, okay? Then you have something, one of our grandparent couples talk about when their kids, praise for healing our daughter's marriage. Only God could move and soften the hearts. He hears our cries and our praise. Praise be to God. Sometimes God's victory in pain is in different areas, but I'm telling you what, He is always faithful to give you victory over pain. You do not need to let the pain of your life define you. Because aren't we used to being around some people who their pain defines them? Like defines them. It's like, no, that's not your God. Jesus, He's the one you can trust, and He'll give you victory over that if you'll walk with Him. So, 3 weeks, I'm going to talk about that one more. But here's this other one, and most of us don't know what this word is, sanctifier. Jesus gives us victory over addiction. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. And it's interesting, because if we don't let Jesus be our Savior over selfishness and our Savior over pain, this is usually what happens to us, right? Because we can't handle the pain we're feeling, so we find an escape that usually does what to us? Imprisons us. It's just because if we don't let Him be the champion in that area, if we don't take the good news and live it out, that's what happens to us. We get enslaved by our own attempts to get free. And Jesus said, no. Everybody who sins is a slave to sin, and you can't free you. But if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. When I free you, you get free. When you try to free you, you get more in prison. Yeah, someone thank you. That is worth a little bit of a clap. That's God's gift. Now, the word sanctifier, think of like sanitizing or something like clean, get rid of. Sanctifier is the idea of to set apart. And it's the idea that God sets us apart from sin and then sets us close to holiness. It's the idea that we start having the right type of life in us. And only Jesus can give this to us. Now think about the cross, by the way, when we're mentioning all these. How did Jesus heal us of selfishness? By being who? Selfless and a sacrifice for us. How did Jesus heal us? On the cross, He took our wounds upon Him so we could be healed. How did Jesus on the cross become our sanctifier that sets us free from addiction? Because they nailed Him to the cross and He couldn't get away, and he had to endure the pain. The cross was the place where Jesus took all these on, and then His resurrection was what? Where He said, yeah, and I still win. None of these are bigger than me. None of these are bigger than me. And if you'll follow me, I'll make you bigger than them too. I mean, that's the life. That's what He's doing. Baptizer in the Holy Spirit, Jesus gives us victory over fear. In every gospel and the book of Acts, it says that Jesus is the baptizer in the Holy Spirit. Most of us don't know what that word is, baptized. It's the whole idea of to be completely set free and filled with something new, okay? And when Jesus said, peace I leave with you, my peace I give you, I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid. Jesus is saying, look, I know in this world there are lots of things to be afraid of. And I know a lot of your pain and even your addictions have made you very afraid of a lot of things. But if you'll trust in me, I will not only set you apart from everything that was causing you pain and hurt, but then I'll fill you with something new, the Holy Spirit. And you will not have a spirit of fear, but of love, of power, of a sound mind. That's good stuff. That's just good. And that's for you and me. We do not have to live in fear. I always say, look, I don't know what decision you should make, but I'll tell you the one not to make. The one because you're afraid. Every time you make a decision in fear, it's the wrong decision. Understand faith, hope, and love, and God will give you the right way. So Jesus does this. And then the last one, and I want you to think about this too. How did he do this on the cross? Jesus, at the Garden of Gethsemane, said, "Father, if there's any way that I don't have to do this, please don't let me do this. But nevertheless, your will, not my will be done." And what did Jesus do? He faced fear, not for himself, for you and me. He took on the selfishness. He took on the pain. He took on the addiction and the entrapment, and he took on the fear. And then the last one, as soon coming king, Jesus gives us victory over injustice. Because let's be honest, man, we live in a world that is broken, and there's a lot of injustice going on. And the beautiful thing is, Jesus on the cross, he had never sinned. All of the accusations against him were false. He wasn't trapped. He chose to go to the cross for you and me. And he faced injustice. And then he rose again and said, "Not big enough, not strong enough, not powerful enough," because the Son of God gave his life. He said, I took all that for you, and I have victory over it, and now I'm going to give it to you. And look, there are things in life that nobody else in this room knows that you've walked through, and choices people have made for you that you didn't ask to be made for you. But I'm telling you what, Jesus has promised that one day his reward is with him. And while he is coming, one day when he comes, he promises until that day to never leave you and to walk with you and to always provide you peace. You know, when Jesus came the first time, he defeated death. He defeated sin. And when he comes the second time, he destroys it. Right now, we live in the in-between time. Man, sin is defeated. Fear is defeated. Death is defeated, injustice is defeated, but we've got to choose by faith to say yes to it because it's not destroyed. It's still around. It exists, but it doesn't have to have any victory over us if we stay in Jesus. And that's good news. That's good news for you and me. We may still see it around, but we don't have to live by it. We're not victims of it, and we don't have to be conquered by it. We really are more than conquerors in Jesus. And one day when he returns with his reward in him, it won't only be defeated, it'll be destroyed. And so your choice and mine right now in this world, well, so we'll just let injustice go. No, we won't do that because we have authority over that. We have victory over that, and we can give that to somebody else. We can share it. You know, right now, I just literally, first service, someone never been to church before, came, a friend hosted them, came on in. She loved it. She was like, "I never heard any of that. But Pastor Sean, why does poverty happen?" And I was like, look, I'm not going to try to make excuses. I'm going to explain all, but I will tell you this. Researchers know that if everybody on the face of the planet would take 1 year off of golf and give all the money that they were paying for golf, and we'd all agree on the right system, we could eliminate poverty in 1 year. We've got the ability to have victory over it if we would choose to follow one leader and give ourselves the way he called us to give us. We've got authority and power. The problem is we all want to be our own leader. And so in the end, here's a king who can make it all right. So now that's wonderful, right? So here's literally the gospel. You know it now more than some seminarians know it, okay? The gospel of Jesus, he's the champion over selfishness, pain, addiction, fear, and injustice. And if you need that, he's got it. So here's the idea. These are all these great titles, but there's two missing. Because it's really not good news until you get the next two. I'm going to give you one today, and next week I'm going to give you the last one. But here's the deal is, it's great that he's Savior, Healer, Sanctifier, Baptizer, Holy Spirit, soon coming King. But if he's not servant, it's not good news. Because there are plenty of people who have victory in this world, and they're not serving you. So all their victory means nothing to you. But Jesus said, the Son of Man has come not to be served, but to serve and give his life as a ransom for many. You see, Jesus, he's not just the King of heaven. He's a person who washes feet. And today is my 8-year anniversary as lead pastor. And when I do my anniversary Sunday for my leadership, I always do foot washing. Because I always use that as the reminder of what Jesus is about and what leadership is about. And what an attitude of a leader and a follower of Christ should be. And I'm telling you what, The Bible says in John 13, you can go read all of it later if you want. It says, right, that on the night that Jesus was prepared to give his life, it says what? He showed the full extent of his love. Full extent. I would say the full victory of his love. It's like, I'm not going to go to the cross. I'm not just going to go to the cross and give you all this. But I'm the person who's willing to wash you clean of everything you have walked through in life. Because I'm coming to you midlife. You've already walked through stuff. You've already had battles that have won. You've been defeated. There's been places that have discouraged you. You've got enemies of this soul of yours. And I haven't just come to do all that, and too bad you didn't hear about me sooner. No, you know what? I'm also a servant. And I'll wash you of whatever you've walked through. I mean, that's good news, everybody. That's real good news. That we don't have to come to him perfect. Wherever we've walked, we can start there with Jesus. He says, I can wash you starting there. And Jesus said these very words. Do you understand what I've done for you after you washed your feet? Because the lowest of the lowest servant would do that. Nobody. You had to force someone. It was usually the lowest slave in the house who did it. Jesus did it voluntarily. Said, you call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that is what I am. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed you, your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. Who doesn't love him? Who he really is? That's good news. The person who's won the most important victories in the world is the person who wants to give them to you. And so we celebrate Jesus because he can wash away your selfishness and your pain and your addiction and your fear and your justice. And listen to this now. And not only can he wash it away, but he can teach you to live in it. Like you don't need to go back and step in it again if you don't want to. That's the beauty of Jesus. You can say yes to the gospel of Jesus Christ no matter what battles you've already lost in your life. Yes. We just say it this way. You can say yes to making Jesus the center of your everyday life. Because you know what I like to do? I like to take the person who's won all those victories, and I'd like him to go with me every place I go, all the time. Man, what can I handle then? Students, you're going back to school. Sometimes that's good. Sometimes I don't know how I feel about that. You've got Jesus with you. The one who's never been defeated, the one who's champion of all. The reason we call him Christ is because he's the King of heaven. There's no one greater, and he's for you. And as a matter of fact, he would like to walk with you. As a matter of fact, he'll switch around and say, why don't you walk with me? Why don't you walk with me? So what I'd like to do today is I'd like us to think of a simple prayer that all of us in this room can pray, and I'm not asking you to pray it out loud. I'm asking you to pray it in your heart today. King Jesus, because that's who he is. Today I ask you to wash whatever this is. Just wash it off my heart. Wash it off my thoughts. Wash it off my feelings. Wash me from my life. And then teach me to live in the victory over it forever. Like, a lot of us, it's pretty common for people to get washed by Jesus, but then not get discipled by Jesus. Say, hey, now let me show you how you don't have to walk in that anymore. I believe in you. I trust you. I'm sorry for what I've done. And really, in the end, what I'm most sorry for is I didn't trust you sooner. Because you're my creator. You're the one who knows me. And I want you to see this before we move to prayer. It's the back of your handout. There's one more blank if you're filling in blanks. At the bottom, there's a box. And it says, to continue this good news in your life, you can join. And the next words are, freedom in Christ. Freedom in Christ. It's a class we offer here. Class is the only way I can describe it, okay? You can start coming to first service, and second service, you can start taking this. Or on Thursdays, if you've got time in the middle of the day, you can just come then. And what that is Jesus has washed me from this stuff, and I just keep coming to him to wash me, but I'd really like to learn not to step in it anymore. I don't want to walk there anymore. I don't want to do that anymore. Jesus has a victory for you. It starts today by getting clean, and it continues by growing in him. That's why we call it keep growing. Like, keep growing. Come on, there's more. So Now, I know that God has said that we don't have a spirit of fear. So fear not. You don't have to wash somebody's feet today if you don't want to. Okay? Whew. All right. Feeling better. But if you'd like to, you sure can today. And like I said, I like to take these moments, and I'd like to take a moment to at least wash somebody, two, three guys. And what we do, by the way, during this time is guys wash guys' feet, ladies wash ladies' feet if they'd like to do that. So in a moment, I'm going to have our elders and our pastors and whoever's join up in prayer. And we're going to go into some worship. And if you want to just worship, spend some time talking to God. If there's a place you're just like, I really would like Jesus to wash this off of me. I'm carrying something that I don't know how to get rid of. Or I don't know how to feel any other way. And I want to follow Jesus in this. Then you can come up. You don't have to do any foot washing. You just come up and let someone pray for you today. And they'll just pray. Our elders, our pet, just, Lord, wash them right now. But for some of us in this room, it'd be a pretty cool moment to say, wow, that really happens. Like, Jesus really says, I don't mind touching that spot in your life. And so if you want that, as you're coming up, you say, hey, I just feel like God's asking me to be, let him wash my feet today. Then one of the elders will take you to one of the chairs. They'll wash your feet today. Now, I said we're a family, so I'm going to be a little bit bold at this moment, okay? Alex, I'd love to wash your feet today, man. All right, Javon, absolutely. I'd love to wash your feet today, man. So in a moment, as we start worship, if you guys don't mind coming up, I'd like to take that moment and just pray over you while I do it. Because God's washing the past and setting a beautiful future, right? Because he's victorious. He's the champ. Nobody beats him. And if we're with him, nobody's beating us. I mean, that's just how good he is. So I'm going to ask our elders and whoever else is part of prayer mission, I'm going to ask you to stand. And we're going to take a moment of prayer before we get into this time. We purposely set time just to worship and pray and let Jesus wash our hearts today. So would you join me in prayer? Elders, if you want to, whoever is coming up to lead in prayer, if you'll come on up now. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we just welcome you. We welcome the work you want to do in our hearts today. We're so thankful that you really are good news. And Lord, we're praying that your good news would fill our heart. As a matter of fact, would it fill it so much that it would overflow and we would talk about it with others who need it? If a world can get excited about a football game and represent because their team had won, would you teach us to represent you, the one who's given the ultimate victory in life? And would you let a peace come in our life today? And as you're praying right now, your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed, and even online, you're praying today too. If you would like to accept Jesus as Lord and Savior, you've never said, Lord, would you forgive me of my sin and come into my life? I'm going to encourage you that as we go to the prayer time, why don't you come up to one of these prayer partners and just let them know, say, hey, today's the day. I want Jesus just to come. And I want to follow him. I want to make him the center of my life. I want him to wash me clean. They'll know what to do from there. And it's just a prayer. That's all it is. Any age, you're welcome to do that. But Lord, we ask now that there would be no one in this room who would leave without really knowing how much you love them and how much you're for them. I pray for the battles that they're facing today, that Father, you would come in the middle of them and give them victory. Holy Spirit, would you guide this time and fill us and take away the fear in our lives as we fix our eyes on you. You're so good. And we remember that no matter the battles we've lost or that we've walked through, that you're good and faithful today. Holy Spirit, let these next few moments be a washing and a refreshing like never before as we give you our hearts in worship and in prayer. Amen. Part of James chapter 5, that's one of our elders, it's reminding us that the Bible says if there's any sick among you, that he should come forward, and the elders, those who pray, will anoint with oil, and the prayer of faith will heal the sick, and the Lord will raise them up. Pastor Brian and Pastor Brown, would you lead us in worship right now? And if, as you feel led, let's just make this a family time of celebrating the victory of Jesus in our lives.